So I wanted to share today a little bit about love, really love, and also a tiny bit about violence. For many reasons, one of them is because yesterday, as you know, there was this another horrific shooting and killing 8 or 9 people and injuring another 8 or 9.
So, excuse me. I think they can't hear you. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I have to speak up like
just
that?
Up.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Is that, yeah? Can, yeah, okay. All right, so this is better? Kind of, okay. All right. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, so I want to talk about love and violence. Even though in Buddhism, we tend to say that the opposite of violence is actually kindness. And yet, there's also in Buddhism that we say that the four kinds of true love is, we talk about the four divine abodes, the four abodes or ways we want to live, right? The divine abodes, these are the places that we want to live and stay in our mind and in our daily lives, in our heart, which is being kind, having compassion, having joy for others' joy, and then being inclusive, equanimity. So we've talked about this often, four divine abodes, Brahma Viharas. And we don't talk about violence there. We talk about violence that when we're kind, if we're kind, it removes violence. But when we talk about love, we say love is inclusive of kindness and these other three things. Now, then I was looking at the altar. Can you show the altar? Yeah, do you see the altar? So the altar has, it says love is joy and a practice for a future to be possible. And then there's all these very earthy elements. And then there's a picture of the Buddha. There's a candle. There's lots of incense. A little plant, a little lamp, like lamp of lightness. And I was looking at it. I was thinking about what to share today. And I thought, yeah. That's what love is, right? It's the divine abodes, right? It's joy. We have to have joy. There's kindness, you know. Many of the things on this altar were actually from members of the Sangha. The heart, the love is, it's from the Women's March. Do you remember? In DC. Sarah, one of our members, BBMC members, did the mosaic of joy. It's leaning on a beautiful orchid that Emiko brought the first time we met in person. The image of the Buddha was painted by Rhonda, also a member of our Sangha. The elements of earth are, you know, the kindness and the generosity of the earth. And then the little lamp in the back, that's the lamp of transmission from the Sangha body to the Sangha, right? Someone in the Sangha and gets the lamp to continue to share the Dharma and bring the larger Sangha together. Another act of kindness and joy and inclusiveness, right? And so this is, you know, I was looking at it and I thought, oh, all right, that's it. Isn't that neat? That we really, that our Sangha really is embodying love. It really is embodying all the elements that we say is true love. And that we want to live into that. And all that because that's what's going to make sure we take care of the non-understanding that leads to violence, right? Because it's this lack of understanding. Now, in our tradition, we say you can't really love someone until you understand them. And yet we use this word love very freely. And that's wonderful, right? That we use that word love, and it's also wonderful if we practice true love, if we really understood each other so we could love them. Because in relationships, when we start having that like block that goes up when someone does us something, does that we think our perception is that they've done something to us that's harming us, we don't have the time to think, do I understand why their action is this way? Their action sometimes and often is not even really directed to us. Like a lot of times when people do things that are not nice, it's because they have so much stuff going on. They don't even see us. They're just acting out of their stuff. But we don't understand them. And so we take it all in, we personalize it. And now we build this wall around our hearts that slowly gets bigger and bigger every time they do something that makes us unhappy. So it's not to say that the action that was done is not harmful. It's not to say that it's not wrong, you know, in that word of wrong. What it is to say is we don't understand often why people do the things they do. And we certainly think we understand the people we're in close relationships with, and yet it's so not true that we really understand them. And so in our tradition, and in all the Buddhist traditions, and especially in our tradition, Thay often talked about that true love is understanding, and that we cannot love someone until we understand them. But we use the words and we say we do, and it's wonderful. And if we could develop that and really start to understand the people around us, it would probably evolve and generate into something that is really true love. So that when people act in ways that we don't understand, we actually don't take it as it's really intended for us. Instead, it's listening to why they're doing the things that they're doing. And there's a way where when we start understanding why people do what they do, that block in our heart, it really can't even form. Because that's what understanding does. It gives us this new, broader meaning where now the thing that was done is seen within this bigger context. It's seen within these facts, these other reasoning, and then we understand. And when we have understanding, we have compassion. And when we have compassion, we don't hate. We don't go to that separateness. We don't go to that pushing away. We don't build this wall around our hearts. And so this understanding, right, is so important. And in order to get to that space of understanding, we need to understand ourselves, and we need to befriend ourselves. So our sitting meditation today, the invitation was to find a place that was spacious, that was non-painful, and to enjoy it, like to just enjoy non-pain. I mean, we don't do that, actually. It's such a simple thing, and yet we are looking for everything else to bring us joy. like the next thing I'm gonna do that's gonna make me happy. I'm gonna, after this sit, I'm gonna do this thing and I'm gonna really enjoy it. And then I'm gonna do this next thing and then I'm gonna really enjoy it. And our the endorphins start to get produced because we tell ourselves and convince ourselves that that thing is gonna really make us happy. And the invitation is like, can we just come back to our body and can we just notice like there's places in our body that doesn't have pain? And can we just enjoy that? Like just be happy with that? Like just that thing. And then find a place in the body that is in tension, is in pain, is in feeling abandoned from the rest of this body. And befriend it. And spread that area that was without joy or was spacious, and let it just sit next to the area that's hard, that's like, you know, walled off because of some hurt, that's some trauma. And just start to reconnect in this body right here. Our world is so fragmented. You know, we go to violence because we don't understand each other. And it's one of the reasons is because we don't even understand ourselves. So just imagine if just in this body, just in this body, it was all connected. Like all the areas were connected with each other. There was no area that was, and I'm not saying there's no area of pain. What I'm saying is there's no area that wasn't connected. There was no area of the body that didn't feel it was part of this body, that wasn't pushed aside, ignored, because it hurts, that wasn't put aside because it causes too much pain to reflect and understand why it's painful. Because we don't do that. And that's why we go to therapy, to try to understand why we do the things we do, why we have pain. And it's the same thing in the body. The body holds everything, right? The body bears the burden. And so as we sit in meditation and practice this thing, you know, bring the mind and the body to calm, find the places in the body. This is the deepest teaching in Buddhism, mindfulness of the body, in the body. You know, the Buddha said 6 weeks, 2 years, if you practice with this, you become enlightened. I mean, he wouldn't have said that if it didn't have some like truth in it. Like, if we just continuously staying mindful of this body and practice with it, get to know it. What is there? Are my areas of pain? How often is my right hip? My right hip is always jacked up into my pelvis. And then when I start to breathe, it breathes out and it comes down. And then it probably stays like that through the sit. And then I'm sure, as soon as I could get up, it's gone back up into its place of where it feels it needs to be, right? Like whatever trauma is there is being held there. And so, and that's one that I'm very familiar with, but it's all over my body. And so how do we start to keep this continuous awareness of this body? Where are my places where it holds pain and holds trauma, and how do I keep reconnecting it with the rest of my body? I'm not saying it's just the meditation or the continued embodying is going to make it go away, because you know, for some of us, our pains require other types of things to help it heal. What I'm saying is the parts of our bodies and our minds that are in tension, in conflict, in trauma, we have to integrate them into the body, the rest of it. Because what is happening in society, this kind of violence that continues to happen, these kind of killings that continue to happen, this kind of othering, it's a part of this same thing where we are bringing these fragmented, disconnected selves into society, and it allows us to act toward each other in a very disconnected way. And so whatever it is that we haven't healed, we are bringing out into the larger society. And we're just acting just inhumanely with each other. And it starts because we have ourselves have not taken the time to love ourselves, to just find joy in this body, to offer compassion to the areas that need it, and to include all of it into this. Like, we favor it all, right? Like, all the stories that, you know, this part of me is ugly, like, that's a violence to our body. And we've taken it in, right? Like, I grew up with thinking that I was ugly because of my teeth, because of my, you know, just my the face I have, right? I remember someone telling me once, no, you're not pretty, you're just okay. And I was like, okay, where did that land in a young child, right? Yeah, and that's things we take in, and it's a violence, it's a violation, and we hold it. Now, I can't penalize people who put that on me. I have to learn in my own process how to heal that. And then when I get to the place where I'm healing that, I get to see that person and understand why they said that. And they said that because they were told the same exact thing. But when I'm not able to heal myself, I will always think and feel that my suffering is the fault of that person. Well, if that person didn't tell me that, I wouldn't be holding that, and it's all their fault. And that's the non-understanding, right? That's the not being able to listen and really hear everything that that person is bringing with them. Not just the words that might have hurt me, but all the other parts of that person who was also hurt and never healed. And so where does the healing begin? Well, it begins with us, right? Because this generational continuation of violence has to end, right? I mean, we have to practice for a future to be possible. That's why I felt like I looked at the altar and I was like, bam, okay, right? And that's why we're here today. And that's why we sit every day. And that's why we walk slowly. And that's why we breathe when we get stressed out. And that's why we think about practice. And that's why we listen to talks and keep trying to hear the things that remind us, oh yeah, I want to breathe in mindfulness. Oh yeah, I want to put aside all the distress of the world and come back here. And yeah, I want to understand why this person yesterday felt they could just shoot up a mall in Dallas, Texas. I don't want to just judge them and call them bad. I want to also understand. Again, it doesn't condone the behavior. It doesn't mean it's right. It doesn't take away from the compassion and the love for the people who suffered that trauma from that person's behavior. But it goes beyond, because we have to understand each other, and it's going to start with us understanding ourselves, and it starts right there on the chair, on the cushion, like just understanding what is here in this body, and how do we heal ourselves, so we bring that out into the world, a healed self. So I'm going to stop there, and invite a bell for us to breathe together, and then we'll have Dharma sharing. Thank you. Can you up the